Let's hear the Lord's word from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. It's time for My Week. Last Sunday was Father's Day and Children's Day in our church. It was a great joy to me last Sunday morning to speak to the children in our congregation. My story on the lost coin was a hit with the boys and girls. I held up a shiny Canadian dollar coin. It was minted in 1982 with a tribute to the American Constitution on the reverse side. Yes, it is really a unique gesture to our brotherhood with our fellow Americans, a rare coin. But it was a good introduction to talk about the woman who lost her coin. She must have counted them over and over to convince herself they were all there, but no, one was lost. Then she went into action to look for it. With a candle in one hand and a broom in the other, she took no rest until at last, the eureka moment, she found it. She burst into joy and called her neighbors to come and celebrate with her. The Lord used that simple common day story to illustrate that every time a sinner repents of sin and is brought to faith in the Lord, there is joy in heaven among the angels who behold the face of the Lord. The Lord told the story to illustrate a vital truth. Every soul is valuable, and the Lord takes no rest until his own people are saved. That was in contrast with the murmuring Pharisees, whose teeth gritted at and their hearts hated the idea of a lost person being saved. Their words were bitter, but they were right on about the Lord Jesus. This man receiveth sinners. To them that was a bad thing, but to all of us this is a wonderful thing. Yes, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save the lost. All who think that they are good enough, which was the attitude of the Pharisees, are the truly lost people. They are lost in their religion, while others are lost in the world. Which are you? Do you take delight to know that some poor lost sinner has been lifted out of the gutter of sin? Are you praising God every day for your own salvation, singing, Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. If you are confused on how that can be possible, please note that the Lord emphasized the need for repentance. All the hope of being found and rejoiced over applies to those who repent. I had joy in showing the boys and girls that repentance is a U-turn in life. You turn away from the paths of sin and you turn in faith to the Savior who loves you and invite you to be saved. How important that you repent. Repentance is a powerful thing. None will get into heaven without it. None will be there to sing with the angels unto the Lord without turning from the world. The Lord saves us or washes us from our sins so we will break free from them, not to leave us in the filth and the pollution of them. This has been a busy but a good week, and I have felt good that every boy and girl in our church now knows how to be saved and what repentance can do for them. I hope that you also know, and that today you will take it to heart that the Lord, in spite of what men may think or say, takes delight in saving the very worst and bringing them into heaven. There is joy in heaven, and there is joy in the preacher's heart also when he discovers that some soul repents. And I invite you to be in touch to let me know that you will take the Lord as your Savior and turn away from the world. All of that thrilled my heart, and I was also thrilled to talk to each of our 5 children on Sunday when it was Father's Day. We are thankful for FaceTime and internet video, which is effective and free. You can see the smiles and even read the tears. What a difference from when we first came to Canada in 1984. We talked to our family rarely and by phone, which was expensive. It was hard to keep in touch. Then came email, then voice over the internet, and then the smartphone. Now we are spoiled, and it certainly made our week. Stay tuned now for our ministry in song at Calvary by Boaz Boone, and then, after the hymn, our message on prayer.
Yes, I stand in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, bear my burden so for liberty.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. One of the most difficult things that people find is to have a consistent prayer life. And I fear that many of God's people never really enter into the depths and the blessings of personal prayer. Today we have a checklist for bold biblical praying. Stay tuned as we move to the pulpit to let the Bible speak.
Musing on prayer today, and I felt the need to give you 5 pointers that will enable us to know that we are praying according to the mind and the ways of the Lord. I've been reading the works of E.M. Bounds. He is a classic author on the subject of prayer. And I must say there are a lot of good things, and he is a great writer, very clear, very short, and crystal clear statements that are very powerful and helpful. But upon this one point I cannot agree, and that is that the test of prayer is answered prayer. Now, we would all love to have some mighty, wonderful powers with the Lord that instantly, in every occasion, everything we ask, just immediately the answer is given. But that is not always, and certainly not always, the way that the Lord is pleased to work. And I think that God may answer many prayers immediately, but very often we're too dull to recognize the answer. When we pray for protection, We don't know the timing of that other vehicle that is moving off from the stoplight. We don't know all the facts and details that play into even our safe arrival here at church tonight. And while we pray for protection, well, do we recognize that as an intervention from God? Not necessarily, but God is absolutely at work. And of course, he may strive with our souls for whom we are praying, and we're not even aware of it. God may be doing a work in hearts, in our families, in our congregation, or further afield, and we are in the dark. God has been pleased to begin a work that the fruit of it will not be for some time. Many a missionary has given his whole life to the work of the gospel, sown with tears and labored with hardship, and yet did not see much harvest. And only after they leave this world does the harvest come. And so there is no way that we can box God into the corner and say that unless God answers this prayer in this way at this time, then God doesn't answer prayer. No, I don't think that we can make that the final test, the barometer of prayer. Now, we do need to pray in faith. We do need to pray believing prayers. And we need to ask, certainly, according to the will of God. So here we go tonight with five statements, five questions that are tests if we are praying aright. Number one, is it revealed? Is it revealed? Now, this was our lesson in Isaiah 45. And you remember it was the thing that started Daniel in prayer when he read that there were 70 years to the exile. They were coming near to the end of that. And for this, God would be prayed to that he may bring that exile to an end. And so Daniel set himself to pray, and he prayed earnestly. And of course, he was God's instrument and God's means of answering. Now, but he prayed on the thing that God revealed. And we talked about God's decrees, God's purposes, praying over the very purposes of God. So how do we do that? Well, let me recommend to you that you pray over a text of Scripture every time if possible. That as you call on the Lord, you do so with your Bible open and with a specific passage in mind, and you pray that unto the Lord. Now, it could be as simple as John 3:16. In fact, I did this recently, and I had a wonderful time of prayer in praying over that verse and just praising the Lord for his great love to sinners, that he had no desire for us to perish, and he grants us the gift of eternal life. Or as in Matthew 28:19-20, I just read this today, was my own Bible reading, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you alway. And what a great promise. And it's a command that's given to us, and the Lord promises he will be with us. Now, you can pray absolutely that here is something God has revealed, and it's right here in his word. Another great text for prayer would be James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. God will not mock us. He will not turn us away. He will not become weary of our asking for wisdom. And what day in our Christian lives do we not need wisdom to guide us and direct in our decisions, in our relationships, and all of this? And we can pray boldly when we take his word and pray. So the first one is this, is it revealed? Number two, is it righteous? Is it righteous? Now, righteous means what is right in God's sight. Now, there is what we call the general will of God. And it's God's will for me today, tomorrow, and every day that I live on earth. And it's also God's will for you and for every Christian This is God's general will. Like, honor your parents. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's one of the commandments. And so that is a command that is given to us. And as we bring various issues to the Lord in prayer, we need to pray within that blanket will of God for every one of us. It's never the will of God for us to become liars or to be disobedient and rebellious to authority. These are things that are the general will of God. But then there's the particular will of God. Not everyone's called to be a preacher, and not everyone is called to be a missionary to Africa. And you, Africa is a big place and could take a lot of missionaries. But there are a lot of other countries in the world as well that also need the gospel. And the whole world is God's harvest field. And not all are called to be a politician, nor are we called to be the mayor of the city. There is that specific will of God for individuals. Now, how do I know it's right for me? Well, is it righteous? Will it keep me honest? Might be a new job, a new career. It might be marriage. You wouldn't want to be married to someone that will make you dishonest. You wouldn't want to be married to someone that would lower your morality. Will it keep me honest? And to enter a business, will it make me to compromise the truth and be dishonest? Lie on the paperwork? No, it must be righteous. And if we're calling on God for specific situations, marriage, work, travel, a church, training, a school, will it keep me righteous? And as we ask the Lord to open up a door, this must be a very important guide for us. And so there's the two R's. Number three, is it regal? Now, I use the word R here, and I mean by this, is it for the glory of God? Is it for God's glory? In John 15, 5, verse 8, it tells us here that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we must always ask with consciousness of the fruit that it will bring forth. Will it bring glory to God? The salvation of a soul. Now, I trust we would pray for that tonight. Will it bring glory to God? Is it his will and his purpose? And will it honor the Lord? So it's right for us to pray for the salvation of souls, for the extension of God's kingdom. That is regal. That's for God's glory. And then the honor of the Lord Jesus as God's Son. All of these things are for God's glory. And so if you're going to pray about something tonight, you can ask you these questions. Is it revealed? Is it in the Word of God? Is it righteous? Is it for God's glory? And if you can answer those three things right, then you can pray that with all your heart and with all your boldness. Number four, is it resigned? And for that, we pray, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine. Now, this comes very close to us because very often, and I suppose just about every week here in our prayer meeting, we pray for the sick in our congregation. And sometimes we have our own bodily issues that we need to pray about. Now, is it the will of God for us to pray for healing? Now that we leave with the Lord saying, thy will be done. And we premise our praying with, if it please thee, Lord. Not everyone is healed from everything. We know that from the Apostle Paul with that thorn in the flesh. The Lord said he wasn't going to take it away. He had to live with it. Then, of course, when praying for the dying, If someone is coming to the end of life, you cannot pray, Lord, it must be your will for this person to live. Again, we pray with resignation, thy will be done. What about a church to stay open? Again, we cannot force God's hand. We can pray, Lord, this would be for your glory. Lord, this would be for your honor. This would be for the extension of your kingdom. But Lord, thy will be done. And so we pray according to the will of the Lord. It could be about our finances to provide for your home, or it could be for a business venture. And we pray, Lord, you must bring in the financing that you can get this off the ground and supply the need. But again, as you pray with resignation that if it's God's will, if it pleases the Lord to do this, and by that you take the outcome to be the will of the Lord. And so we pray with resignation. Number five is it asked on redemption ground? Redemption ground. When we ask in Jesus' name, we never divorce the person from his work. And of course, we ask in Jesus' name is to ask in what he accomplished at the cross in his redeeming work. And if we're praying for mercy, the forgiveness of sin, or victory over sin, then we pray on redemption ground that the Lord has purchased this by his blood at the cross. It might be victory over temptation, over the devil. And when we ask for those things, we plead them all on redemption ground, that the Lord has bought these blessings by his own death and by his sacrifice upon the cross. And we plead, therefore, for these victories in our lives, for this ability to overcome based on the victory of Calvary. And if you can pray the matter through on redemption ground, you will pray with power and you will pray with great blessing. Now, the big one that's in our mind, the one that we read here in John chapter 16, is the mighty ministry of the Holy Spirit. What we learned on Sunday morning, John 16, verse 8 through 11, that the Holy Spirit, when he has come, that he will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And that's right here in the scripture. That's revealed. And it's the will of God. And it's for the glory of God. And of course, the Lord went to the cross. He laid down his life and to redeem us so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in our hearts and live in us. And so tonight, I would ask every one of you to pray much this evening for this work of God the Holy Spirit. As I say, it's revealed, it's righteous, it is for God's glory, it is submitting to the work of the Spirit in our church, in our lives, and it brings us on to redemption ground. So it fits all five of those criteria. And as we come tonight to pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, demonstrated, work effectually in our church, in our land, we are praying on good, solemn, biblical terms. Now we know that King David did this in 2 Samuel 7:25. I'll just read this. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. That's 2 Samuel 7, verse 25. Do as thou hast said. Now, if you are praying and you've got your Bible open, and you might even have your finger on the verse, and whatever that verse is that you've been reading and it applies to you, it's applicable and it's a blessing to your own heart and you come to pray, and you pray that back to God, and do what David did. Lord, do as thou hast said. Then surely we are on strong praying ground. And I advocate tonight that we take this lesson we learned on Sunday on the Holy Spirit's threefold ministry to convict of sin. Because without that work, all our preaching comes to nothing. We can have people in the pew and they might listen to some degree, but it doesn't sink in. It doesn't bring them to a brokenness over sin. That's the Spirit's work. And of righteousness. And we interpreted that. That is that the Lord Jesus is the perfect righteous Savior. He alone is the righteous one. And sinners need to hear that. But they also need to confess it and be brought definitely in heart to understand that. And then judgment. And we talk about the fear of God. Well, this is an element of the fear of God. When a sinner comprehends the depths and the depravity of his sin, and he senses, I'm going to have to give account, I'm guilty, I have no way to answer this, then they sense the judgment of God, and they will cry out for a Savior. And we need to pray tonight that the Holy Spirit, by his mighty grace, will do his work in hearts to turn men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord. So for those who have been taking notes, I'm just going to go through this one more time. Is it revealed? Is it righteous? Is it regal? That's for the glory of God. Is it resigned? That's to the will of God. And is it on redemption ground? And if we can pray with those things in place, we will be praying strong prayers, prayers that surely the Lord will be pleased to answer.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.